Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Brother Water, just a second. Let me get you in. Just a second. Hey, Brother Water, yo.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, let me see who else is in here. Let's see, Brother Maher, you on?
Yes, sir. I'm here. Oh.
All right, peace, yo.
Who else is on with us?
I don't see Brother Cohen in here.
Okay.
Kyan on yet? Okay.
No, I don't see him.
Is the queue filled up right now, Brother Drew?
Yeah. If he can get in, once again, it was filled up in 10 minutes before.
Okay. Well, at least I'm in, so one of us could bring him in, I think, right?
It'd be best that you can you because I have to keep my phone on mute where I'm at.
I got you. So, all right, let me send him a text and see what he's up to while y'all
okay.
are doing your thing.
You can't hear me, can you? Can't you? Brother,
I'm sorry, what happened to Wyatt?
Brother Drew, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What I wanted to talk about today was we're going to look at some history that's 150 years old. 100 of those years, from 1870 to 1970, you was known as a Negro that was a colored person, which is an emancipated slave. Now, that definition of emancipated means free from legal, social, or political restriction, to free from bondage. This is the way America carries us as we speak right now. You are carried as an emancipated slave. You're not a citizen of America. You are a citizen of the United States, which is of America, but they don't run shit. America is the federal party. So most people that call themselves Black African Americans, that's Christians and Democrats, they don't know this. So this is why we're going to go back and study this history and see what went down. In 1870, the 7 years of them deliberating of what they was going to do with the ex-slaves, they said that they was going to emancipate us. Now, in 1870, they said that the emancipated slaves, first they was going to educate him, send him to school. The subjects that they was going to teach him was home economics, agriculture, reading, writing, arithmetic, P.E., music. They give you a bank called the Freeman Bank and a political party called the Freeman Party, which was radical Republicans. They said that you were separated but equal to the white man, especially if you lived in the South. This is where all the slaves was in the South, where the Dixiecrats was. Now, I find that very interesting because home economic and agriculture, you didn't have to teach no emancipated slave those two subjects because he was well-versed in those two subjects. Now, he couldn't read and he couldn't write and he didn't know arithmetic. He was versed in P.E. and music. Now, we see that this emancipated slave all the way from 1870 to 1970, that's 100 years. It took them 100 years before they would say that you could go to school with them, you could eat with them, and you could marry trailer trash without being messed with in the South to a certain extent. This is all in the South. This ain't no, we ain't talking about up north. We talking about the South, where you live, those slave states. Now, in 1870, you had a bank and you had a political party. But we see that in 1881, that the Dixiecrats, which is the Democratic Party, had disbanded the bank and the political party. And it's a funny thing, in Booker T. Washington's book that I have that he wrote in 1869, is that they took out a insurance policy for $1 million that this bank would never go bankrupt. And Edna Insurance is still here. Edna was the one that insured all the slaves. And Edna Insurance is still here. So we need to ask Edna, how come our bank went bankrupt? And what the problem? Because they have $1 million, and $1 million in 1870 was a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
For that. That
hey,
a
Brother
Dwyer,
hold on a second. Brother Dwyer, hold on a second. Cole, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay, I just want to let you know, Brother Drew. Yeah, I did call him. I got him. And Brother Dwyer, I just want to take a few seconds, a few moments to edify what you just said. You used the word emancipate. Emancipation? Emancipation, as you know already, because we talked about this in the class, is not being set free.
No.
It means your parents have rights over you and have only given you some privileges. So
what?
You're still seen at within, in the eyes of the law, you are still seen as a child. And look at the two words. They look, Emancipation Proclamation. So
right.
What they enunciated and proclaimed and put out there is exactly what that is. And, of course, the states, to some degree, agree to it. So, anyway, back to what you were saying, though. I meant to edify you on the fact that you would start out using the correct term.
Please, stop in on that.
Okay, go ahead, Cole.
Okay, let's go back to that word Emancipation Proclamation, right? Look at the word proclamation. That is not a law. That is a request.
Mm-hmm.
That proclamation don't mean law. That is a request. Emancipation Proclamation.
Mm-hmm.
He brought me here from the Black Law Dictionary. What the word proclamation means. Let's talk about that. Because a lot of folks talk, that don't mean you were free. That is only a request. So let's do the etymology of the word. Let's do the word Emancipation Proclamation. What does proclamation mean?
Mm-hmm. Give me a second.
Pull it up. Black Law Dictionary, what does proclamation mean? The legal definition. Another round of people today, we run around on these a pseudo definition of things without looking at the legal definition of certain words, and that's why we messed up. Lincoln did not free no damn slaves in the Emancipation Proclamation. That was a request. The thing that got you out was when the war ended, and it still has not ended. We're fighting that war all over again from a different level with Trump trying to overturn these elections. It's still the South and the North battling again. And we get it weird for you, brother, man. Make sure I'm not saying this shit wrong. Black Law Dictionary Proclamation.
No, you are right, because he made some statements, Lincoln did, that rode right along with that, where he said if it wasn't, if it was up to him, the purpose of what they were doing this for had nothing to do with setting any slaves free anyway. That's not what this was. And this is out of Lincoln's mouth. This had nothing to even do with that. That's why I love the fact that Dwyer has picked this topic. I'm in Black's Law, so I'm not there yet. I'm just
Lincoln's letter. I was reading one of his letters. He makes that plain. If it meant to keep the Union, he wouldn't give a damn about the slaves.
Yeah.
So the word Emancipation Proclamation. It's not a law. It's got to, in order for a thing to become law, it's got to go through a process. Through the House, through the Senate, it becomes a bill. It's got to go through the floor of the House, then to the Senate, be voted on, and then passed into law. It is not a law.
Yes.
A law, Black Law Dictionary. You know, that's a fourth edition. We run out and do it. That means that you still belong to the damn parents.
Yep. And that's what the legal part of emancipation means anyway.
Okay, but I'm trying to get this thing proclamation. What is a proclamation?
Give me a second here. Okay. It's supposed to mean a decree, an edict, a ruling, an announcement. Mostly it's an announcement.
It's an announcement. It ain't no law. It's not only a request or announcement.
And it says the public or official announcement of an important matter.
That's
what it says.
That's all.
The government restricted use of water by proclamation. You're right, though. It's not a law. Then it's got all these other words associated with it. Notification, statement, pronouncement, declaration, advertisement, publishing, broadcasting.
So
and,
you're right.
And
the black. All white folks, you know, because you had white folks were slaves too during that time, folks don't realize it. And they won't talk about that shit. You call them getting slaves, they're stealing slaves. It's about labor. Emancipation Proclamation did not say no damn body. It was on a request or an announcement or just a wish, what you want to call it, but it was not no law.
Slick, I'm in it, that code. The only thing that you free from is bondage. And it clearly tells you.
Yeah,
even that's
still in bondage.
And it clearly tells you that the only way that you can be. Go back in the bondage is they put your ass in prison again.
You're still on the bond because you're on a debt. You're in a debt.
Right.
Here's
to edify you on that. Emancipation. It says one of the liberal freeing, liberation, liberating, release, releasing, discharge, unchaining, unfettering. There we go right there. Unshackling. This is in the ballpark of what Dewey was just saying. Untying, unyoking, uncaging, unburdening. It says freedom, liberty, manumission. That's the main word you're looking for right there. So this word is supposed to mean the opposite of enslavement and slavery. That's what it's supposed to basically be, the opposite of that. Yeah, sure, it's the opposite of that.
But the natural motive is the key word is proclamation. It did not become law.
No.
You say emancipation law is an emancipation proclamation. It's not a law. Do you see the trickology there? A lot of folks say, no, that didn't do shit for you. I'm shocked that you might be, but you still, it was not a law. It's still not a law.
Right.
And you want to hear something that's interesting, Cole, which we need to bring up as well. The 40 acres and the mule. Most folks, look at the labeling, Cole. I don't know how much you are up on this or not. But they're actually, when you have Caucasian people step up and tell you that they are more African than you are, what are they talking about on the DNA level? So they switched roles and titles because the people who ended up with the 40 acres and the mule don't look like you and I. And we still got to address the fact of all of the Confederate blacks in the South who were not forced to be made to wear gray and fight, that you had the blacks in the blue, the Union uniform, down here fighting against the gray uniform, the ones who wore Confederate gray. And turns out some of them, many of them were from an era where they held other people who were slaves. They ain't talking about that yet, but it's coming around. Because they want to know who all these blacks in this Confederate gray wearing honorary medals pinned upon their chest, and who were they fighting against? Blacks from the North.
Who were the blacks in the North doing down here
trying to free the whites who was enslaved?
But people don't realize, and Dick Gregory said it on one of his meetings, he said that you got to know that 94% of the damn slaves in the South was not owned by white people. What was the population of the South? And how many slaves and how many blacks owned slaves during the so-called Civil War?
Mm-hmm.
They amplified to talk about a few plantations, but they didn't give you the bulk of the majority of them. And let me tell you something else. You look at where Montgomery's. Look at the Montgomery's. The Montgomery's was a black family that wound up owning Jefferson Davis' plantations.
Right. And this same phenomenon was the case on the East Coast in the Carolinas, in Georgia, and parts of Alabama, and co. Don't forget, you introduced us in the class to William Natchez Johnson, who owned 5,000 slaves, 2,500 whites, 2,500 black slaves. He was black. They say, well, he was this and he freed. No. Where did he get the money to do that?
Yeah.
What kind of tribe was this guy from? William Natchez? The word Natchez is not a place meaning he's just from Natchez, Mississippi. He was a Natchez.
The Natchez Indians.
Yeah, like Nat Turner. Nat Turner is from the Tunica tribe. Tunica is in English's church. Right.
Yeah. And, see, and not only that, if you look up William April Ellis, he was a black man that owned slaves on the largest plantation in the South. He actually funded the damn Confederate Army. He bought Confederate war bonds to support the Confederate Army. He bought war bonds.
Right.
Confederate war bonds. He bought $5,000 worth of Confederate war bonds to support the Confederate fighting against the North. Why would a black man who can say do that? See, when we take our emotions out of this shit and think about it, logic and common sense, you'll see a lot of shit we've been told is all bullshit.
Yeah, and here's the other thing, Cole. On the subject of money, how did they break the backs economically? Because this is all involved in it. How did they manage? Because on the battlefield, blacks wearing Union uniforms from the North was down here battling the whites. Battling the blacks in gray, in Confederate gray. And the purpose was to free the whites that those blacks had as slaves. That's part of the major battle for the reason. That's what all the bloodshed was about. And economically, they broke their backs with the collapse of the federal government. And then you end up with what era? What they call it after the Civil War? What did they call that era again?
Reconstruction.
So the currency that these folks had in the stock they had in the black slaves, meaning blacks owning blacks, blacks owning whites as slaves across the entire southern half of the U.S. broke them economically because now they rolled in a new currency.
Mm-hmm. The guy whose name was Antoine Dubois, who became the lieutenant governor of the Treasury of Louisiana, was one of the richest Negroes in the South, in Louisiana at that time. And look him up, a pinchback, O.C. Don. The whole list of them. I got one for you, Brother Mahan and Brother DeWan. Who was the first president of Texas?
That's a damn good question, Cole. I'd like to hear you say who it is because we've got a whole bunch of stuff that was happening on the federal government level. You had eight blacks who were presidents before the continental United States was formed.
Right.
So where did they come from?
And another thing now, Brother Mahal, Ulysses S. Grant promised the black slaves for him he would give you 40 acres and a mule. Congress had not approved that. He tricked the blacks into fighting for him because most of the blacks was fighting for the South. And they was
kicking off the Northerners' ass.
Ulysses Grant promised you 40 acres and a mule. It was never promised. It was never, ever. Congress did not approve that. And I just sick and tired of, I tell Robert all the time, 40 acres and a mule, why you keep saying that you looking for your 40 acres and a mule, because you never would get it, just like you can't, Section D, tell you that you can't get reparation. You can't get no damn reparation. It's in the Constitution that you can't get reparation. And so why are you running around here giving folks money for reparation and nothing but a bunch of black lawyers getting rich off of your damn dumb ass?
And they've been doing that since Connie went fighting. And remember this, even Sheila Jackson Lee said they tried to form a commission to study reparation. Not it's a law. The House bill has been on the floor since the 80s. It's been over 40 plus goddamn years. Why they never got to the floor? We got to get to the floor in order to be talked about, voted on, passed to the Senate. Got to go through that debt to become a law, a bill. Got to go through those phases. But let me go back to what I first said. Now, this came from the Texas State Library of Archives and Commission. The first president of Texas was named by a guy by the name of George T. Ruby. George T. Ruby. He's before Sam Houston.
Now, Cole, let's go way back. In the class, when you was teaching the history about Texas, okay, you and Dwyer were discussing Texas, okay? I knew only a handful of things at the time, enough so I can get on a plane and get here, okay? Job transfer, that's my excuse. And so you start talking about Nacogdoches. You start talking about Palestine, Texas, Abilene, Texas. And I'm saying to myself, aren't those names in the Tanakh? Those are in the Old Testament, aren't they? And I remember it flashed my mind back to one of the guys working in Fidelity Network Operations Center, and we were all just cutting up one night. This is a white guy. And he said, well, you know, Texas is in the Bible, you know. And he didn't say Texas is Texas. That's not what he said. But he said it in such a way that it made me think for a second. I didn't know you yet, Co, but it made me stop. So when we started getting into our classes, here's what I found on a website called Forebearers.io. That site ties in with Ancestry.com and some other sites. Co, since the late 1700s, take a guess on how many folks in this state have the name Edom on their birth certificates, their baptismal certificates, since the late 1700s until the present. Because you can go up there and get it. If they got images of these certificates. Take a guess. So we're looking at what's going on with skin folk to skin folk. You want me to go ahead and tell you, Carl?
Yeah.
Close to 3.5 million people have had the name Edom in their name. And you already know we got Edom, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
And you also know we got an Odom, Texas. It's the same word with a different vowel point. So you have E-D-O-M and you have O-D-E-M. And then in Louisiana next door on the coast, you got Edox, the Romanized version of Edom, but except they replace it with the X. So somebody please tell me what in the Sand Hill, what in the Old Testament is going on over here? Okay? Why are these people really fighting each other? What's going on in this history and law that you and Dwyer are laying down is definitely necessary. Because people need to see this, and then we rip off the sheets and the blankets so we can really get behind the scenes and see who's really standing behind the tree throwing his voice over at the other tree, trying to fake us out. What's going on?
Another thing, Cole, we have to ask ourselves a question. Who is John Henson?
Yeah, we know that's the one they like to give you his name.
Yeah, we know we did all that. And his brother's name was Samuel Henson, and he was the one that orchestrated a thing called the day we call Thanksgiving was put together by him, because that is the only so called holiday that does not move. It's always the fourth Thursday in November. Everything else moves around, but that's the only one that don't move.
And see, we don't understand. The history starts with the Continental Congress. John Hanson was the first president of the Continental Congress. He was a Moore.
13th. Well, see, Dick brought that out years ago.
I got the letter that George Washington wrote to him congratulating him on being the first president. George Washington wrote him that letter.
Yeah, we got that, because I got a copy of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
I got a copy of it. See, what people don't realize, you went by what mainstream told you, but you didn't go behind the wall, behind the iron curtain, and find what really was going on. And we were doing, when I was writing the book, The Other Side of Slavery, The Untold Story, a lot of stuff I found out, because I went to Austin, Texas. I went down to the Capitol, and I went into and pulled a damn record. I pulled the record myself and looked at it and saw it. I said, well, I'd just be damned.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so you were covering this in the class, Cole. You also talked about the founders of Texas A&M.
Right.
And how is it that if slavery was supposed to have been, as they told us this story, in the schools, garbage, then how do you explain all of these men of color, founders of these academic institutions, recognized, and even in the Texas Congress, you've got people of color who was members of the Texas crew, so to speak.
They called them
possible?
The Radical Republicans.
And the same thing in Congress. And the
people
of the original claim.
They were Negroes. They were black men.
And the Keeper of the Flame, which is in the Rotunda now in D.C., that was an official paid position, and that person who did that was black in D.C. So, like I said, bro, what in the world do we really have going on here, and why is everything upside down? What's really going on?
Back to business, there's a lot of things coming to the forefront. That's why I was trying to get in, and I had another class going. I was trying to get out of one class to get over here, but I appreciate you. But a lot of people don't, and I said, I know a lot of people got mad. I wrote the book, The Other Side of Freedom, because I wasn't going along with a lot of the bullshit about reparations, because I found out, and DeWar News, because the guy that hit us through that was the guy he was working for at that time, Mr. Groves. Mr. Groves gave DeWar a book called The Diary of William Natchez Johnson. I got a copy of it, and I drove my ass to Natchez, Mississippi to see for myself. And lo and behold, there's a man, three-story mansion right there at 201 Capitol Street in Natchez, and the shit's inside. It's a museum. Went inside and looked around, and just like they see. His house is about maybe 120-300 yards from the Mississippi River, and right next to the train station where he would out, he would buy slaves, and they would bring them in either on the damn boat or either on the train. The house is there. There's no figure of your imagination. Not only that, but here, right there in Natchez, Mississippi, Natchez, a black woman had a large plantation called Melrose Place.
Right.
The largest plantation called the Yaka Plantation, owned by a black female. Look it up, Melrose Plantation, Natchez, Louisiana. One of the largest so-called African plantations.
Cole, when you're looking up plantation, any plantation got Annabella on it was owned by black people.
Yeah, definitely in there.
There you go. That's right. That's right. And you want to know something interesting in the language, since we bring up these names? You've heard of the name Anna May. Have you ever thought about what Anna May means? Are we still on the air?
Yeah, we still. I'm listening.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I got you. Anime means God lied. I don't. In case you didn't know that, I learned that in Hebrew, and I was very surprised. And I was like, there are way too many black folks with this name in the South. And it's like, it means what? God, it's supposed to mean God lied or God lies. One of those two. So we got folks using these names right here in front of us. Now, the phenomenon of women owning slaves, a good, healthy percentage in South Carolina, which outbeat Georgia and North Carolina. My late dad was from North Carolina. So he was from near a reservation referred to as Snowbird. Cherokee, and he would talk about the histories that was passed down, you know, which he got and he passed it down to us. And he was discussing this whole thing, which is we had never heard of this in the public school system. And what Dad was telling us, he wanted us to pay attention to, and he would ask us questions to engage us. What are they telling you when it gets to American history? Well, Dad, they said this, that, and slavery. Okay, here's what they're not telling you. And my dad used to fill us in on what they were not saying to us.
And unfortunately,
Cole, we don't have too many of them older elders around there doing this anymore, like what we're doing on the program. That's kind of far and few in between now.
Yeah. That's what I was telling people this time when I went. Yeah.
Sneak out a minute. Brother Cain, I know that you do tours every year to William Natchez's plantation down there. I know this for a fact, and if you want to go on a tour with Cole, I don't know when you're doing it this year, Cole, but we will inform the people when you are going to take a group of people down to that to Natchez. I know you do that.
I'm still doing. I'm just waiting for this Corona thing to try to clear up and get them clear, so where people can go down and see these plantations and see these places and visit these ancient mounds of our ancestors all over this place down here. You know, and visit these homes of Mrs. C.J. Walker there in Louisiana. There's a lot of history. What a lot of people do not realize, and nobody's ever talked about it. But I'm here.
Yes.
There's a place in Virginia called Massey. Virginia.
Yes. Manassas, Virginia. I was at the Army Corps of Engineers Officer School there when I got commissioned as a lieutenant. Fort Belvoir.
That's where the first three regiments of black soldiers were that fought with the Confederates that whipped the Union's ass right there at Manassas.
Yes. As a matter of fact, that place is a public park. They call it the Manassas Battlefield. I think it's called Manassas Battlefield Park. So as part of the thing at the Corps of Engineers, they brought us out and we walked the grounds of this area, the smell of the original blankets from, you know, when they were anything, amputations, the bowls, the cannonball, all that stuff they used there. That's a hell of a experience. Like you going to the plantation in Natchez, Mississippi, going to this battlefield, and mind you, do you know it is called Manassas for a major reason? The tribe of Manasseh,
yeah.
In case you didn't know that. And here's the other interesting historical piece. They call the river today Potomac, but you and I understanding language and linguistics, before that was called Potomac. Potomac is not the name of a river. The word potomi is Greek. That means river. So they say, yeah, the Potomac River. So you just said to me, river. You didn't really give me the name. What's its original name? It was called Tigris, a Roman name. So, again, we've got some shenanigans going on here where folks then did the okey-doke, and then they had a place that one of the indigenous tribes is still there in near that Virginia area, and it's called Jerusalem, or was called that. I think it's, like, relegated down to the size of a reservation now. So, they got, and I'm not, you know, you're, I'm not trying to be religious. I'm just simply saying, in history, these folks was doing things. Things were being named and or the names were being changed. McCall, go ahead and finish your point you was making about Manassas.
But no, I'm saying that was one of the first battleclips where the Union met blacks fighting in the war. And they lost
right.
to these blacks, and that's why Frederick Douglass told Lincoln, if you don't go ahead and open this thing and get blacks in the Union, you're going to lose the war. You're going to lose the war. And that's when he agreed to bring in free slaves of blacks, and they were giving them $13 a month. It's called Mustard Inn. The word is Mustard Inn. Mustard
right.
Inn means enlisted. Okay?
Right.
They paid them $13 a month. Now, the first so-called legalization of Negro was from 1863. That's not correct. At the 54th Massachusetts, you had blacks already in the Union after the Battle of Manassas.
Right. And one of the regiments was the one that was way up there in Massachusetts called the 52nd. The 52nd Regiment.
The 54th and all that. That's what
yeah.
he agreed to make it known. But,
right.
And that's the one that claimed the laws. But I'm telling you something. But the battle that people don't talk about it was fought right here in Louisiana, in Tallulah, and Madison. It's called the Battle of Milliken Bend. That was the first Union black soldiers beginning to defeat the Confederate. It was right here. The first time that the Confederate lost was right here. Right here. It's called the Siege of Vicksburg. But the battle that turned the tide was right here in a town called Tallulah, Louisiana, Madison, Florida. It's called Milliken Bend. And I live here now. I got the documents, and I got the from the burial grounds, and where all this took place is right here where I am. I ain't got to think about it. I can take it to the grave site, walk it to the battleground, to all this stuff. This was the first colored Union soldiers defeated the Confederate was here at Milliken Bend. And every battle they had, the Confederate lost every battle they had. They the one that was able to cause, Grant to defeat Pemberton at Vicksburg.
Right.
Right here.
Right. See, a lot of this that you're saying, Cole, they don't, even if they're talking about, they give you a sanitized version, the kids anyway, a version of when they get to the history of the U.S. Civil War and as such. But in military history, before I became a commissioned officer, part of my training was in military history. So it's like they roll out the whole enchilada. So you're learning names and treaties and stuff that was signed that it's like I never heard this. My actual college class wasn't teaching anything in this when they made American history a requirement. They didn't cover nowhere near it. And I'm like, why is it in a military academy they teach you best basically everything, Air Force Academy, Naval Academy, U.S. military U.S. Military Academy, which is Army, so to speak. Why is it they give that all to us like that? So when you come out and people are looking at us cross-eyed like we're revisionists. You know, Cole, you could be seen as a revisionist even from what you're saying right now.
Yeah. And we can go back, Cole, from 1870, we were known as Negroes that was colored people. In 1970, they put on the census that are you African American, are you colored, are you Negro, are you Hispanic, are you Latino, are you Chicano, are you Mexican? They ran a scheme on this. See, we're showing you how they have genocided you. We ain't doing nothing but showing you, we're using history, how you've been genocided, that people born after 1970, especially the people born after 1980, they don't know nothing about a Negro that was a colored person. They only know the history of an African American with Jesse Jackson in 1960 say, I'm no longer that a Negro that's a colored person. I'm an African American. Jesus first, the Democratic Party second. People didn't belong, the colored people that was Negroes did not belong to the Democrat Party until after 1970. You weren't a member of the Democrat Party. Most people in the South belonged to the goddamn Nazis Party. They was communists. And
right.
All of this history, they don't teach you this. And now you got people that's in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, and 50s that believe that they are African American. They believe that they were freed from free slaves. They believe all of this shit that they believe is a lie. And you ask what's wrong with it. And so you can see in 1970, this black African American who's a Democrat and a Christian, what did he have? He got a new religion, he got a new culture, he got a new education, and look at what he's doing. See, the State of the Union of this person that's 51 years old, which is a black African American, that's a Christian and a Democrat, you got some fucking history. Because we start looking at your religion first. Ain't no Negro that
right.
Colored people had the Holy Ghost jumping and shouting. This came with the sissies. How did the sissies or the punks or the lesbians or the gay get into the church house was with James Cleveland and his boys.
Mm.
Donald Bell,
wow.
O'Neill twins, Kirk Franklin, all of them. I'll name every goddamn one of them off because I know I was sitting there looking at all of these sissies coming into the church house where black men didn't even play the piano until after 1970 in the church house, because if you play the piano, you classified as gay. So how did this come? The sisters changed the vibration of the whole damn earth by tuning the piano to thin the rolls on 440 and taking it off of Miller C. That's why everything right now is out of balance behind the sisters. How did these gays and lesbians gain control in 2021? Through the Democratic Party, through liberalism. This is how they gained control. You want to know how they got in the church house? That's how they got in the church house. You didn't have nobody. The blacks couldn't have, but you could be a Baptist, but you couldn't be First Baptist. You had to be Second Baptist. You could be Methodist, but you couldn't be Christian Methodist Episcopal. You had to be Colored Methodist Episcopal or African Methodist Episcopal. According to my mama, who was a Methodist, if you were sanctified, that was a heathen way of it, of people falling out, speaking in tongues and shit. And now everybody in the church house and the Methodist, everybody is speaking in tongues. This black culture that went into the church house after 1970. Most of the slaves that came out, if you go back into the history of the religion of the slaves, hell, they believed in Judaism. But look at what you believe in now. You as a Negro that was a colored person, you knew home economics. You knew agriculture. You knew reading, writing, and arithmetic because it's taught in the school system. You excel
right.
at PE and music right now.
So what do you know about Richard C. Allen, Dwyer?
You don't know a damn thing about these other subjects. Go ahead on, son.
Hey, Dwyer. So back in the 1800s, okay, when you talk about all this changing right up until our so-called times when you remember seeing this stuff usher in, you had someone named Richard C. Allen. Richard C. Allen, his temple used to be called Beth El. They were not Christians until some Caucasians got a hold of them, changed the name to AME. And you already know what that is, African Methodist Episcopalian, AME. Now, with that, them becoming Christians, there was people smart enough, and I'm going to read something right off of over here that I've got. It said, basically, this is how they describe Christianity. The story of how one woman's lie to cover up an affair got way the hell out of hand. That's how we see it. Some of it is kind of humorous the way they put it together, but that's it in a nutshell. You are what? You're Christian? You're Christian? Okay, so you have an issue. You know that your condition is not curable. You know what I mean? Because if it says that they're born with a defect, yeah.
I want you to expound on this, because when it was first called Negro History Week, how did it become Black African American History Week? It wasn't called that at first.
No, it was not.
And see, who is this black African America? Is who the Bible talking about? People that like knowledge. In 1971, the 1.1 million of you people.
Right. Let me expound on something for you regarding the word.
Of you people with doctor's degrees,
right,
with summa cum laude and magna cum laude and cum laude. I never get so sick of a old, moldy, gray, antique-ish ass, black ass,
right,
getting on TV hollering that I'm an African-American, he's my age. He's a fool.
Well, let me edify you on something. Consider for a second. You went back to, you said, Jesse Jackson. Okay? Well, Jesse Jackson is not just a person, Jesse Jackson. Okay? First, he went from being a Mason, Master Mason, and to being enshrined. What is the name of the order? Because I'm going to show you why he's using that word, African. What's the name of the Shriner organization that he's a part of? It's in the name. Arabic Order. Arabic. The word African pertained to barbarians, Caucasians. Those are some original folks that while the Civil War was raging over here, they got their asses handed to them in Eastern Europe and lost their Civil War in 1864 and had to move because the white Russians pushed them out. And they ended up making their way over some time down into what we call the Northern Africa, the deserts. And many of them showed up over here in 1870, all in Mississippi. There were still folks of Caucasoid, so to speak, coming. They're not from Western Europe. So this goes into names and everything like that. But for him, Jesse Jackson, to use that title, African is already a word that exists in the Arabic language. And those people were called Afrique. Had nothing to do with being brown. This guy went and put that word on us. So what they're saying to you in the back door, you're a barbarian. And you have nothing to do with the barbaries. You are, so ask for more, a more, like myself, who has to study this history, will tell you this is what you're dealing with running around with a label that's got nothing to actually do with you but to control you. These people are not going to respect you. You're seen as a barbarian. They know what these words mean in the back door.
And when you say I'm an African, you saying that you're a white boy. When you're saying you're American, you are a white,
right,
boy. The first American
was. Right.
Was
but most importantly, stuff. You're not just a white boy. You're a barbarian.
Right. And
that's what I'm trying to say. You are a barbarian. Those are the people who was called that in Northern Africa who are not black.
Sneak out a minute.
Yes,
when you look up the word pagan, barbarian, heathen, it's going to say white man. It's going to say Germanic race of people. It ain't going to say no color race of people.
When you take it a while ago?
Say no. Look up the words.
Put down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And see, and right now we're trying to give as much information as we can and make it fit inside of this one-hour program, which we're doing a hell of a job considering, but this is where we're at right now. Why are people being called what they're being called right now? And what's your race? And then Cole already brought out the word ethnicity has nothing to do with what your religious preference is. You're being called something else completely different. That you had no idea, you thought it had something to do with race, not religious, but race. No, it's got nothing to do with race. You're being called something else. Yes, sir.
From the hair.
Yeah.
They don't believe that, so let's give it to them. Give them the etymology of the word ethnicity, so they know we ain't lying. Please, let's give it to them, because it's on the application. What is your ethnicity? I don't have one. Do Let's give them the definition of ethnicity.
Yeah, give me a second.
Yeah, please, because these people are like, I don't find that shit. I see other. So I ain't, don't, ethnicity, what the hell are you talking about?
And see, this all of this got to be corrected.
That's right. And now's the time to start doing it. With everything at a standstill, it's time to do a reset and reconfiguration. Do you all know that? I won't get off on all that because these niggas run around talking about they Pisces and Aries. You don't know what you are because the calendar has been fucked up for the last 3,000 years. There's 13 constellations, not 12.
And my question, brother, is how can this be a new year when it was 2021 B.C.? And I
not only that, how can be a new year when this is when your calendar's off, and this month you call in January is not the first month of the year. Aviv is the first month of the year. Equinox starts your first month.
Right. Right. As a matter of fact, I did a lecture some years ago about the Pope who changed time. Your calendar, they added 8 years onto your calendar. They're now discussing it. They said this is really 2012. That matches the Aztec Mayan calendar and the events that's supposed to happen. And it's off by 3 months and 3 days. So it's all off completely.
The other constellation that the Babylonians left out of the equation was called Orpheus. O-P-H-I-U-C-H-U-S.
Yeah, Orpheus, right.
Yes, that's the 13th constellation. It's right there, and it's in the ninth solar house. A lot of folks want to talk about 12. It is 13 weeks between every season, so how the fuck are you going to have 12 months? Anyway, you got the word ethnicity.
Yeah, hold on.
And see, you on the calendar of the heathen.
Yeah, the Gregorian calendar.
Ask yourself.
Yeah, I did a lecture on the Gregorian calendar. They rolled it in October 4th, 1582.
Yeah.
And
that guy
what they did was he hired a Jesuit.
To put this thing together.
He hired a Jesuit mathematician. Pope Greg the 13th hired Christopher Clavius. They used to use the equinox calendar, which is the 364-day, what we call the Jubilee calendar. They call it the church calendar. And when this guy was done, this guy, Christopher Clavius, was a Jesuit mathematician.
When
he finished cooking up the math for what calendar they need to do, they say today is Saturday. Well, today really isn't Saturday because, remember, they added 3 days on. So Saturday isn't Saturday, okay? Sunday is not Sunday. Sunday is like Thursday. So it's how they did the junk, okay? And then instead of saying March being the first month on the equinox, they now say January is month number one. So when these people are doing astrology and horoscopes and all that and tell you what your numbers are, they're liars.
All wrong. It's all wrong.
Those numbers are wrong completely. Now, let me tell you how Alpheus fits in, Cole, because you brought that up. You know, and we need to look at this in the constellation. Does Alpheus make this showing once every 7 years? And then the 49-year, the Grand Jubilee? When they're doing the Grand Jubilee, what constellation are they looking at? Because you remember in the 364-day calendar, every 7 years, to keep it aligned, you add 1 week of 7 days called Jubilee Week. That's how you do it. That's how. Right now they're doing leap years and everything else with this calendar. But they said, the reason we left the calendar is because every year it was slipping behind 1 day. Stop that grand lie. They needed to get off of that stuff, which was not something that they even invented. And all of these years, the 1500s, the 1600s, the 1700s, is when all the people of color was overthrown around the world. The Lombardies, who are African barbarians, went and had something to do with the defeat of the original Holy Roman Empire, which was in Germany, Bavaria, and moved it to Rome, Italy, today, And the name of that family was called the Lombardies. They are barbarians. They have nothing to do. They're not Romans and barbarians at the same time. The Romans are black folks. The original Greeks are all black. So, continue.
Yes,
I tried to mute it. Could you hear him still talking?
Yeah, I tried to mute myself.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you wasn't muted. We could hear you. Radio show here. It had nothing to do with race.
It had something to do with religion or something. It was ethnicity, and the word ethnicity deals with the word heathen or barbarian.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'm looking for that right now. Yeah, heathen or and I remember I read it. I pulled it up for you, and I don't remember it from Black's Law.
No, we did the etymology from Google. We just Googled it.
Yeah, that's what we did, because I'm seeing here it says
it meant heathen.
See, they're using clean language right now, and it's one side I'm looking at. They're just basically saying language, history, society, culture, nation. See what I'm saying? Now, a barbarian was seen as a nation of people. We all lumped them in one category, and they were spread over a vast area. They were not living in Europe as barbarians. As a matter of fact, even if you watch the British Royal Marine commercial, you know, they always said that they came from the sea. In the commercial, they say they came from the sea. In the commercial, they always do that. They came from the sea. And they show you them going everywhere in the world to get people, fight terrorism, whatever the case might be. They always like to say they came from the sea.
And something else.
Which is the way we know them.
And Brother Cole.
Yes.
The original said separated but equal. Now, when you integrated in 1970, 100 years later, that means that you became not up on the federal law, you put yourself up on the constitutional law of each state.
Yes, that's
you
correct.
You ain't with the federal no more. See, separated but equal, you had power. Once you integrated, you ain't got a damn thing but what you got now, a dog that's a fool and a bitch that's a hoe.
Right. See, as long as you remain separate, you was under the Treaty of Peace and Friendship signed on the Delaware River, 1787,
right,
with George Washington. You were not called a Negro, and you were not called black. You were not called colored. That you was already here when they got here. So that treaty had people with names that are long names today that people will laugh and say, oh, he's got a Muslim name, or he's got a funny Hebrew name. People can't tell the difference between a so-called Arabic Muslim name and a regular Hebrew Israelite name or an African name. They really can't tell the difference.